Well, we are starting a new series today, our Advent series called Hark the Herald. And normally what we would think about when we think of that title is a song that we sing during Christmas time. And yes, it does talk about the herald, the angels that came singing, proclaiming about Jesus Christ. But one thing that a herald is a person that, or a person or an angel that goes forth on behalf of God or on behalf of a king to proclaim to the people some news. In other words, the herald takes on the role of a mediator. And that's what we're going to be focusing on during this Advent season. We're going to be focusing on this idea of a middle person, a middle man, the mediator. And as we talk about the mediator, we're going to talk about it in three different ways. We're going to be talking about the role of a prophet as a mediator, the role of a priest as a mediator, and the role of a king as a mediator. And we're going to be pointing to Jesus Christ. The word Advent has to do with coming, arriving. And so when we go through this Advent season, we remember how Jesus Christ came to this earth and how he's born in a manger, and how he grew up and how he died on the cross for our sins. But not only that, he rose again from the dead. And so we also remember how our Lord Jesus Christ is coming once again. And so we look forward to his coming. During this time, we not only remember how Jesus Christ was born, but we also remember how Jesus Christ will be coming once again. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. And so to start us off, we're going to be talking about the prophetic hope. We're going to be talking about the mediatorial role of prophet, and we're going to be doing that by looking at a passage from Deuteronomy. And so why don't we turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 22 to 33. And today, I don't have any extra slides on the screen for us, and so I will only have the verses on our screen today. And so I will be pointing to other verses, so if you do have your Bibles, I do ask that you open up your Bibles and so that we could look to other passages together. But if you do have one of these Bibles in front of you, you could turn to page 150, and we'll be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. This is the reading of God's Word. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And as soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, "Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man still live. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have, and has still lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. And the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, 'I have heard the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a mind as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents, but you stand here by me, and I will tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules that you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land that I am giving them to possess. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess.'" Amen. Actually, we did have these verses on the screen, but I'm sorry that we didn't show it to you on the screen. We just finished Thanksgiving. Well, some of us celebrate Thanksgiving, not all of us. A lot of people celebrate Thanksgiving, and it's a time to give thanks for this past year and how God has blessed us. But then now that we go into this Christmas season, it's a wonderful time to celebrate and to meet with family. But then soon afterwards, we go into the new year. And as we look forward to the new year, some people begin to think about New Year's resolutions. Some people think about how maybe the next year will be hopefully a better year than this year. And so people make different kinds of goals. Now, as people make different kinds of goals, they also may begin to search out, how can I achieve this goal? And so they might begin to look at Facebook or search the web or maybe look at YouTube videos to find someone that has a little bit more knowledge, to find someone that has a little bit more of an idea of how they can succeed in life, how they can be happier in life. Now, as Christians, we are reminded over and over that no matter how much we look for happiness in this life, we're not going to find it. We're not going to find the long-lasting happiness and joy that we're hoping for. We might find a little bit of happiness, but it's not going to be that long-lasting, deep joy that every single human being is looking for. And so we say, rather than looking for changes in our lives right now, we look forward to how Jesus Christ is going to return and give us that hope, because it's only through Jesus Christ that we will really find that joy and fulfillment in our lives. Jesus is supposed to be our mediator, the one that brings us to know our God, our Father, so that we can experience a life of fulfillment and joy. But let me ask this question. As you do think about your new year coming up, as you do think about things, ways that you want to change your life, do you have a person that you look to? Maybe like a mentor figure. Maybe someone that you can look up to. Someone that you admire. Maybe for some of you, it's not even a person that's still living. You're looking at books and you're reading dead people's thoughts. Is there anyone in your life that you could bounce questions off of to get an idea of how you can live your life in a better way? You know, there are a lot of people that look to different people, different books, maybe body trainers, like weight trainers. Some people, they look to dietitians. Maybe some people, they look to different kinds of people that may tell them a bit about how they can live a better, happier, healthier life. And for some of us, we don't look to all those other people, but we might look to pastors. Pastors may be the ones that we look to find a little bit more knowledge. And so we might look to YouTube videos of other pastors and famous popular pastors that might have a little bit more wisdom, people that are a little bit older than I am, that might have a little bit more wisdom than me. In any case, the fact is that a lot of us, perhaps all of us, to some degree, we face situations where we seek some kind of guidance. We seek someone that may be like a mentor figure. We seek out someone that might be there to teach us, to guide us. Well, the main idea for today is that we need to learn from Jesus, who is our ultimate prophet. And I'll define the word prophet for us. But the main idea is, learn from Jesus, our ultimate prophet, that we may also prophesy hope. Okay, so let me say that again. The main idea for today is that we need to learn from Jesus, our ultimate prophet, that we may also prophesy hope. And the three points that we're going to be going through today are, number one, Moses the prophet. Number two, the people and the prophet. And number three, Jesus the ultimate prophet. So once again, the three points are Moses the prophet, the people and the prophet, and the third one is Jesus, the ultimate prophet. Let's first talk about Moses the prophet. So in the past series, we're going over how to have a relationship with God, and we're talking about Deuteronomy, and we read all the way up to verse 21. Today, we started in verse 22. And so what we talked about the last few weeks were the Ten Commandments and the rules that God laid out in terms of how we can have a relationship with God. Now, as these Ten Commandments were given, Moses thinks back and reminds the people, remember when God started to speak to us? Remember what happened during that time? Let me read a passage for us from Exodus 19 that kind of remembers, where we can remember what it was like for the people to come before God. And this was right before God was going to reveal himself, and reveal all his law and how to have a relationship with God. In Exodus chapter 19, it says in verse 16, Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, it says, now think about what the Israelites would have experienced. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. You know, they were at the camp, but then Moses brought them out of the camp towards the mountain to meet God. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. I actually don't know how to say that word, kiln, because I don't use kilns. Kiln. David, how do you say that word? Kiln. Kiln, thank you. Smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Imagine hearing God speaking. And in today's passage, we hear about how the people responded as they heard God speak. God spoke. Imagine what that would be like. Imagine if you were to be in a situation where something terrible, something frightening, something just awe-inspiring happened. You know, maybe the closest thing that we can think about to experience something like that is when maybe an earthquake happens, or maybe when lightning strikes. You know, there was a recent earthquake that was pretty big. How many of you guys felt that? It was pretty big, and it lasted a little bit longer, especially those people that live in higher floors. You guys might have felt that a little bit more. Now, when an earthquake happens in Taiwan, we just think, oh, it's another earthquake. But it doesn't help when all of our phones are going off like, and not only that, this past earthquake lasted a little bit longer so that it made you think for a moment, wait a minute, do I need to get out of my room? Do I need to look for cover? And it, when that terror, that sense of danger is there, you might experience it at first, and at first you might think, oh, it's nothing, or you might think, wait a minute, let's see what happens next. But when it lasts a little bit longer, it gets you thinking, oh my goodness, I need to go and hide. I need to do something to save myself. And that's perhaps a sense of what the people were experiencing. In verse 22, it says this, these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain let me just put it up for you guys on the screen. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And as soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, listen carefully to what the people said. Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man still lives. They knew that they were in danger. And they talked, they told Moses, we have seen the glory and greatness of our God. It's not talking about how God is a wrathful God. It's not talking about how God is a terrible, angry God. It's just how God is a holy God who is completely different from all of creation. God appears and the people respond correctly and they say, we have seen God's greatness. We have seen his glory. And God spoke to us and we feel the danger as sinners before God. And so Moses, they go on to say, Moses, please, you go and talk to God. You go and talk to God. You be the one that listens to what God commands. And then after you hear everything that God commands, come and tell us. Become our mediator. That's what they're requesting. Now, as we talk about that, let's talk about what a prophet is. A prophet is a person that hears God's word from God and then begins to speak to the people, teaching them God's commands, teaching them God's rules and statutes and all these things, but also urging them to obey. And that's what a prophet did. A prophet is not just a person that just tells the future and tells you what's going to happen in your life. That's not what a prophet is about. A biblical prophet is a person that hears God's word, that takes God's word and begins to speak God's word to his people, to God's people, and urges them to obey. And sometimes it includes talking about the future. Sometimes it includes talking about the past. Sometimes it includes talking about what's going on right now. Now in the New Testament, how do we understand this word prophet? Well, what we have here is God's word. We don't have to hear something new from God. We have God's word. And so a modern day prophet, and I know that there are other churches out there that say that there are prophets and things like that and tell you about your future and they tell you about something about your life. And, you know, I'm not here to argue against those people. I'm not here to argue and say that they're wrong. But my understanding is that this is God's word that has been given to us. And as we hear God's word from Scripture, a modern day prophet is a pastor that preaches and urges God's people to learn God's ways and urges them to obey and say, look to who God is. Look to who Jesus Christ is. And that's what a prophet is about. Now, what the people were saying to Moses was, you take the place of being our prophet. You take the place of being our mediator that will hear from God directly and that will also, and you, speak to us all of God's ways. Here's the main idea for this first point, Moses the mediator. The point is this. Moses the prophet, when people encounter God, you will realize your need for a mediator. You will realize your need for someone to stand there and take that place of being between you and the holy, almighty God. The interesting thing is that we see God's response in verse 28. It says this. And the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all they have spoken. This is really interesting because what we see a lot of times in Scripture are people doing things wrong. And God pointing out sin. And God pointing out how they need to change. But here they say something where God actually says all that they have said is right? What was it that they have said that was right? What they said was that we need someone to stand as a mediator between us and God, because if we are directly in God's presence, we realize that we will die. And so they understood this idea that's repeated all throughout the Old Testament. They understood this idea of the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because it helps you to realize when you come in contact with God, when you have an experience where you begin to realize who God actually is, you begin to also realize your need for a mediator, because you realize how different, in other words, how sinful you are as you come into God's presence. God goes on to say, "Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to hear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever." God desires for God's people to realize who God is, to understand the fear of the Lord, but also to continue to have a relationship with God through this mediator. And the end result is not something like, so God will be satisfied when you finally obey. You better obey. That's not the final result. It says, in the very last verse of our passage today, it says, "You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess." You see, God's desire is not just to show wrath and to point out your sin and things like that, but it's just when you come into God's presence, you begin to realize your sin. But God's desire all along is to have a relationship with you. God's desire is that you will enjoy life, and that you will live life according to what life was supposed to be all about, according to God's ways. And that relationship is to have a relationship with God, not just to live your own life, but it's only when you have a relationship with God that you can begin to realize and live out a life the way that life is supposed to be lived, a life that's enjoyable and fulfilling and satisfying. Now, we talked about Moses, the prophet, and how the people wanted Moses to be their mediator in that kind of role. Moses was supposed to teach them and to urge people to obey. And now we come to the point, our second point, the people and the prophet. What we find is God's desire. You know, I pointed it out in verse 28 earlier. God's desire is that the people would continue to have a relationship with Him, that they would continue to obey, because obedience means that you would experience life in the way that life was meant to be lived. But what we find is that not only do the people fail, you know, many times in sermons that I preach, I talk about how people fail. But not only did the people fail, we see that as they go into the promised land that they fail over and over again. Not only did the people fail, but what we also see is that Moses, as great as a leader as Moses was, Moses is praised all throughout the Bible. Moses was a great leader, a faithful person to God. Moses was. But it doesn't mean that he didn't fail. Moses also failed as a prophet. Moses was a person that was supposed to teach God's people God's ways. But you know what? No matter how much he reminded them and taught them and urged them, he had no power to be able to change those people. And they continue to fail. What we find in the books of Exodus through Deuteronomy is that Moses continued to get angry with the people because they just weren't changing. Not only that, he didn't have the power to change their hearts to the point where they were able to hear all of God's words and go into the promised land and stay faithful and remember what Moses taught them. Maybe Moses wasn't a very good teacher. Maybe he didn't have the right methods of helping them to remember and to recall well what he taught them. I don't think it was any of that. But Moses didn't have the power to be able to teach the people and urge them to the point where they were faithful to the end. Moses failed to be a good mediator. In a similar way, I fail. In a similar way, leaders of churches fail. In a similar way, all of you that are called to be disciple makers, and that means all Christians, all of you that are called to be disciple makers, that was Jesus' command to all Christians, all of you that are called to be disciple makers fail in teaching and urging people to obey God's ways and to live for Him. You know, many of us have heard in recent news, not only about how politicians, leaders that are supposed to remind us to do what's right, and they're supposed to lead governments and countries so that the government and country can go in a right direction. Not only have we heard about how politicians fail, but we also have heard about how many, many mega church pastors have failed. There have been a lot lately in the news. In the past decade or so, we've heard of large church pastors that have failed. And these people are supposed to be pastors that are supposed to preach God's word. They're supposed to be like the prophet that hears God's word, that learns from the Bible, and then teaches God's people and urges them to obedience. But they fail in their own character and they fail in changing people's hearts. The relationship that the people have with the prophet is that no matter how much the prophet urges people, the prophet has no power to change the people's hearts. And so what ends up happening is that both prophet and the people fail. We fail to obey the Lord. We fail to carry out our roles as disciple makers. And what the result is that we are not able to experience a life like what this passage says. A life where we are experiencing a satisfied, fulfilling life that's filled with joy, that's filled with peace. In other words, we experience a glimpse of hell. And as long as we don't have a relationship with God, as long as we continue to fail, our ultimate destination will be hell. But this is not the case for Christians. This is not the case for you. As we come to our last point, Jesus, who is the ultimate prophet, Jesus was faithful in being a teacher. Jesus was faithful in teaching his people God's ways and implanting it into people's hearts. Jesus is faithful not only as a teacher, but also as a follower of the Father. He remained faithful to follow all of God's ways. And so as he heard from the Father, God's will, he also carried it out to completion. And the result was that people's hearts and people's lives were changed. Let me read a couple of verses for you about how Jesus fulfills this idea of being the ultimate prophet. From Deuteronomy chapter 18, it says, this is Moses speaking, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. This is God speaking through Moses. I will raise up for them, the Israelites, a prophet like you, that's not Moses, among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And then in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, it says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And then later on in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, it says, God, having raised up his servant, it's talking about Jesus, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. It's speaking about Jesus and how Jesus came and he dealt with our sin. He dealt with all the ways that we continue to fail against God. Jesus not only died for our sins, but he rose again from the dead and he went up into heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit. And Jesus does the work of changing our hearts. Those of you that are believers, changing our hearts and continually teaching us through the Holy Spirit and through his word about God's ways. In Ezekiel chapter 36, it says this, verse 25 to 27, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. This is talking about, prophesying about how Jesus is going to come. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You see, Jesus says, or the prophecy says that Jesus will come and he will give you the spirit, and the spirit will come upon you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have the spirit of God in you. And we may fail, but the good news is that Jesus Christ has already died for all of our sins. Not only that, Jesus Christ has gifted us with his Spirit. And so the Spirit continues to teach us God's ways. The fact that we're able to realize that we are in sin is the Spirit working in us to teach us God's ways. And God continues to encourage us through the Spirit to continue to walk in his ways. Again, we might fail, but that's not the point. The point is that God is continually working in us and teaching us his ways, realizing our sin, using God's people, using the preaching to continue to draw us back into a relationship with God, so that in our relationship with God, we are able to experience peace and joy. In our relationship with God, we're able to live out this life. Even through all the suffering, even through all the disappointment, we're still able to have this relationship with God where we know there is life. And so as we are being taught by our Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate prophet who gives us hope, we are also called by Jesus to continue to go out. And we may not be the perfect prophet, but as we go out and we share with people and we teach people about Jesus Christ and we urge them to follow Jesus, as we are disciple makers for Jesus, Jesus will continue to teach us and remind us of his ways. And he encourages us, even if we fail, it's okay. Get up and keep going. I will use you to proclaim the prophetic hope that Jesus Christ has died on the cross. He has risen from the dead, and he will return one day. What are some practical applications? Here's some things that you guys can try to remember. Number one, God speaks through the Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. But God does also speak through the failing pastors. God does speak through them. And so don't be afraid to learn from other pastors. Don't be afraid to learn from me. Don't be afraid to learn from YouTube videos and other mentors. Don't be afraid to learn from your Bible study leaders. God will use them to teach you his ways. And there are times when we read God's word and it's hard for us to understand. Go ahead and ask those people. They will help you to understand. But here's the second thing. Not only take the action of learning from Jesus through these pastors and leaders and Bible study leaders, but the second thing is also remember that none of these pastors and leaders are going to be perfect. They will fail. And so it causes us, if we remember this, it causes us to not look up to these leaders to the point that they almost take the place of God. Whatever they say must be true. No. God is speaking to us and teaching us directly through his word so that we can actually discern for ourselves whether or not a pastor is speaking what is true. And not to go and condemn them, but to encourage the pastor and to continue to share with them what God is teaching you. And maybe it might encourage the pastor to change maybe that incorrect teaching. And so remember that pastors will fail. Leaders, Bible study leaders will fail. And as long as we have this in mind, you know, there are people that leave the faith because some pastors fail. And that's sad to see. But we don't want to see these pastors as our saviors. We want to see Jesus, our mediator, as our ultimate savior. And the last thing is, not only do we continue to learn from pastors and remember that they will fail, but the last thing is, you can also have the courage to go out and continue to share God's truth. You can have courage and know that God is continually teaching you and reminding you. Jesus is doing that in your heart through the Spirit. And so have the courage to go out and share with those people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to encourage other brothers and sisters about how Jesus Christ has accomplished the work for us. And let's continue to be a light in this world. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your wonderful truth, for your word, where you continue to guide us and lead us. Lord Jesus, you were the ultimate prophet, and you continue to teach us your ways by your Spirit. And I pray, God, that you'll continue to give us the courage that we may proclaim the prophetic hope that we have in you. Thank you, dear Lord, for your wonderful truth. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.